On average, Americans usually live about 1,300 miles from where their food is produced. Linda Williams, one of the organizers for the farmers market, says for Sitkins, that distance is probably even greater.
I imagine it's a couple hundred miles more for us. When you have that long distance to travel, that's going to take some time. You get 7 to 14 days in transit, you're going to lose some of the nutritional value and the flavor, especially with vegetables.
Plus, Williams says, if we eat food that has to be flown or barged in, that increases our carbon footprint and limits the variety of food we get.
You know, most of the fruit and vegetable varieties sold today are based on their ability to travel and the ability also for them to be harvested in an industrial manner. But there are many, many varieties of vegetables and fruits out there that we never even see in our grocery stores.
And that's where the farmers market comes in.
I think it's a fabulous idea.
That's Sitka gardener Lori Adams.
Produce costs a lot up here, and it's kind of the same idea as like the Victory Garden. You know, everybody could be a little bit more independent, and we could all grow a little something.
Adams has been gardening in Sitka for more than 15 years. She says she still struggles with things like getting the right nutrients for her root vegetables.
I don't grow enough volume to feed us. So it's more, right now, it's more like a hobby. So when the strawberries are ripe, I make enough jam to feed us for the whole year. I could put up enough rhubarb, enough raspberries. But grow enough peas for a whole year, that's like impossible.
So if you go to the farmer's market and you've got carrots and someone else has tons of kale, for example, would you be inclined to, would you buy from them?
Oh, absolutely, except I don't like kale. So. But if somebody did really good at growing broccoli or something like that, absolutely. Because our vegetables are so sweet because of our daylight hours. So many daylight hours, not so much sun, but a lot of daylight hours.
Right.
And so when you eat broccoli that you've grown right here, it's like fantastic.
Organizer Carrie McLean says these things do take time to build. In 1993, he was the only booth at a farmer's market in Port Gamble, Washington. Today, that same market is sprawling with vendors. McLean says it's about drawing the community together using local resources as a starting point. And he says that means Sitka hopes to be more than just a farmer's market, but a fisherman's market as well.
Some of us don't. There's actually a whole bunch of people that don't have ready access to fish. I've gone to the co-op, and it's all gone down south, you know? And it's like, good, that's good. People are making money, but where's my fish? You know. So hopefully this will just be another outlet, you know, diversification of marketing.
In order to sell at the farmer's market, fishermen must have a processor's license, meaning anyone who can sell off their boat can sell at the market. Julia Schlutius of Sienna Seafood says that's not a problem for her family's frozen at sea processor. But she says getting a processor's license just for the market would be a lot of paperwork. Plus, the price of frozen-at-sea salmon is so high, she says she feels guilty charging her friends and neighbors what the fish is worth.
We're getting about $4 a pound for frozen-at-sea cohos. And if we fillet that fish, you know, that would take so much of the product away. And then having it vacuum packed on top of that, it would make a pound of coho about $7 or $6.50, which is probably offensive for people. They would not want to pay that price.
Schlutia says she loves the idea of a fisherman's farmer's market and is trying to figure out the best economical way to be a part of it.
So I did think about it, or I thought I could just sell the whole fish, you know, take orders, and then they can take it wherever they can take it to have it vacuum packed themselves. Because I don't realize that it does cost sometimes $1.50 in going weight for having something vacuum packed.
The Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association will have a cart available with fresh and frozen fish. But Carrie McLean adds there will be vendors with cooked seafood and a variety of other products as well.
A lot of people making jams and jellies. And we actually have some people saving seeds and growing plants for sale. Including native plants and some native edible plants. And we're really interested in trying to increase the amount of wildcrafted food. So introducing more seaweed into the diet and more local fungus.
Juno is also in the beginning stages of their first farmer's market. And while it's a small response to rising food and energy prices, McLean says communities need to start thinking down the road to sustainability. He points to greenhouses at Chena Hot Springs near Fairbanks, which use geothermal energy and grow vegetables year-round. Sitka's challenge for large-volume produce is dirt, but he says we also have access to high-level composting capabilities. Sitka Tribe composted fish waste about 10 years ago, and McLean says there's interest in doing something similar again. A possible site could be the old water filtering plant at Sawmill Cove Industrial Park.
That would be absolutely perfect for municipal compost production. And there just happens to be two of them side by side. And they are lacking a roof, but you know what would make a really good roof might be an inflatable greenhouse. So you could produce compost on one side and food in the other.
Long-term plans notwithstanding, the early hopes for the community's first farmers market is to have fun and to start educating people about what Sitka can do. Local gardeners like Lori Adams are looking forward to it.
I think it's a great idea, and I can't wait to be part of it.
In Sitka, I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock.